Word. Thank you, James. All right. We're going to wrestle with something that I think all of us wrestle with, and that's with our life. You know, most of us would think that our lives are pretty ordinary. In fact, I was talking to some of you guys here this morning before you came in, and you're like, going through work, going through school, and everything just seems so ordinary, right? And a lot of us, I believe, want to live a life that's meaningful, a life that's impactful, a life that has purpose and meaning. And so when we look at our own lives and we say, oh man, I'm just an ordinary person and my life is so ordinary, can there really be any sort of extraordinary experiences or extraordinary impact that happens in my life? I think all of us at some point, we're going to ask that question, right? Because we want to know that our life actually mattered, that we're going to live behind a legacy that is meaningful and significant. And so that's where we're going to answer this question today. And in order to answer this question, we have to step back and look at it from a global perspective and ask ourselves, what is going on in this world? From a global perspective, is there anything that is extraordinary that's going on? And so I'm going to do a little quiz. I'll see if you guys know the answer. And I have two awesome gifts here. It's a customized church bottle of water. It has our church logo, church website. In case you haven't checked it out, it's gcbcr.org. So whoever gets the answer right gets these two awesome bottle of water. So we're going to step back and remember the answer we're trying to search out is, are there anything extraordinary that's going on in the world? So we're going to actually look at world population, okay? So here's the first question. What is the world population in 2019? Anyone? 6 billion. Raise your hand. 7. Pretty close. Any more accurate answer, bro? 7 billion one. No. Jordan? 7.3 billion. No, still not. Kevin, what you got? 7.7. Wait, did you look at the slides? you got access to the slides. I don't know. I questioned that answer. But anyway, Kevin, this is yours. I will give that to you because I am gracious like that. I will assume positive intent you didn't look at the slides. It is 7.7 billion people. That's a lot of people, okay? And I want us to look at the next thing, which is, how are these 7.7 billion people impacted? Like, has anything change in their lives? And is there a specific force in our world right now that's really transforming people and culture and academics and music and all of that, okay? So this is the question. What is the world's largest religion? This is a freebie. You don't get a prize. Sean? Ethan, what you got? Christianity. That is the right answer. Okay, Christianity is the world's largest religion. Okay, the next person who answers this gets a prize. Can you tell me how many Christians are there in this world? You can either give it as a number or a percentage. Someone else. Winnie. 1%? No, this is the largest religion in the world. Yes, Kenny. 23? Not quite. One more. Judy. 30? Close enough. You get this, Judy. It's actually 31.5. So think about this. In the world right now, one out of every three person is a Christian. It's even higher in America. America's actually 71%. So if you just walk around randomly in America, two out of three people is a Christian. And we don't have time to go into the impact of Christianity through history. I mean, it's crazy. Colleges, universities, medical, orphanages. You bring up any industry that goes on in the world, and Christianity has had a dramatic impact on those industries. And more importantly, right now, 2.2 billion people are living a life that is extraordinary because each one of us here that's a Christian is part of this incredible movement that has gone on since the beginning of time. And right now, 1 in 3 people in the world is a Christian. Now, what makes this even more extraordinary is the fact that if you trace it back through history, all of it started from 12 people. 12. And now, 2,000 years later, look at the impact it has on the world. Now, we're going to look at these 12 people today, and you're going to look at them and say, man, these are really regular people. They're just regular Joes. You know, there's nothing special about them. And you're probably true. If you walk down the street and you saw one of these guys, you probably wouldn't even look twice. Okay, they're that regular. But we're going to look at what makes them so extraordinary that 2,000 years later, we look back and say, wow, it started with those guys. And it really started with their mentor, Jesus Christ. Jesus gave them 3 very distinct instructions, which they made their life goal. Okay, and it completely transformed their lives. And so we want to ask the question, what are those 3 things that Jesus told them, and how did that really impact their lives then? And now we see the result of it, right? Extraordinary impact of Christ Jesus in culture, in the world. So that's where we're heading off to. And if you will open up your Bible, we're in Mark chapter 4. And remember, this is 4 guys, 4 regular guys, 12 regular guys who met Christ and to go on from there to change the world. Mark chapter 4, chapter 3, verse 13. So Mark chapter 3, verse 13 through 19. At the back of our mind, we need to be asking, if I'm just this regular person like these 12 people, what extraordinary things can really come out of my life? Like, am I really able to make any sort of extraordinary impact, you know? And we want to look at these 12 because God is going to say, yeah. Because God is in their life, they made a huge, huge impact, not just to themselves, but people around them, and we see it right now in culture and everywhere. So Mark chapter 3, verse 13 through 19. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, to them he gave the name Boanerges, which means son of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. I wish we had time to dive into each one of these guys, but I can tell you and give you this summary, okay? If we spend a lot of time diving into the lives of these 12 men, we're going to come up with just basically one big conclusion. And that conclusion is, man, these guys are so normal. Okay, these are regular, standard, ordinary guys. Nothing special about them. In fact, when we do our character analysis of these people, what we're going to find more often than not is how flawed they are, you know, how messed up they are, how often they do the wrong thing and say the wrong thing, and it's terrible. And I'll give you a couple examples here. The first guy that's mentioned here is Peter. Peter is normally the team leader. He is a fisherman, and he is known for being really impulsive. And we know the story where he actually chopped off a guy's ear trying to protect Jesus. And then in another occurrence, Jesus actually calls Peter Satan. He's like, get behind me, Satan. And so Peter was terrible, okay? He's not a great model for us to kind of model after. Then you have these 2 other guys, Matthew and Simon the Zealot. Matthew was a tax collector. He worked for the Roman government, and people hated him because he was a traitor. He betrayed his Jewish people to collect taxes from the Jewish people to give to the Roman Empire. On his complete opposite of the political spectrum was Simon the Zealot. Simon the Zealot is like an activist, okay? He hates the Roman government, and it's been known for zealots to hide little daggers in their cloak, and so when they get near a Roman soldier, they would actually stab him and murder him. And so that's how much hatred Simon had for the Roman Empire. So think about it. If you put Simon and Matthew in the same room, what's going to happen? They're going to try to murder each other. And so you look at this ragtag team of 12 people, ordinary men with a lot of problems, and you ask yourself, Jesus, is this the team you put together? There's no plan B, like no one else? Is this it? Is this who you're going to hang Christianity on? I don't think any leaders would pick these 12 guys, honestly. And think about our church, okay? Think about, and I'll just use an example here. I'll use the English ministry leadership, okay? Think about these four guys. So these were the 12 guys that Jesus called. Think about this guy here. Good-looking guy with a sweet smile. Joe, he's our deacon, overseeing small groups and fellowship and mission. Would you guys say Joe's pretty ordinary? Yeah? No? Bill's the only one. He's always the guy with compliments. Everyone else go like, yeah, he's pretty normal. Joe's pretty normal, okay? Here's the next guy, Stuart. Okay, I'll give it to him. He plays a sweet guitar riff. Okay, Stuart's really good with the guitar. But for the most part, he's a pretty regular guy. Then you got this guy. Right there. Pastor Rohl. I heard he's pretty good at basketball, so you guys might want to challenge him on that. But he's pretty regular. And then you got this guy. I don't know what you guys were thinking when you voted him in to be your pastor. But these are the four guys in our church, and you look at them, there's nothing really extraordinary about these guys. We're pretty regular people. I mean, my wife and my kids can vouch on it, okay? There's nothing really special about us. But the reason that there is something special is because these four guys, the 12 disciples, and each one of y'all here this morning who are in Christ, are going to experience extraordinary things in your life and make extraordinary impact because of this. That we are ordinary people and we experience the extraordinary because of our relationship with Jesus and his mission. And I want to point us back to Mark, because we might have just glided through it and you probably missed those three things that Jesus said, but he calls these three things out to the 12 apostles, and that's what made them experience extraordinary things. Okay, so if you will go back with me to Mark chapter 3, verse 14, this is what it says. So this is Jesus talking to the apostles. He says, he appointed 12 that they might be with him. And so that's the first one. Jesus calls us into a relationship with him. It's really because of Christ Jesus that we get to experience extraordinary things. Okay, we're regular people. There's nothing really special about us. That when we are in a relationship with Jesus Christ, the creator of all things, the God who is sovereign, that's when we start experiencing extraordinary things in our lives. So that's the first one. Jesus calls them to be in a relationship with him. Then he says this, and that he might send them out to preach. Okay, that's the second one that Jesus says is, I'm going to commission you out. You're going to tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. Second thing, when we follow Christ and we're in a relationship with him, he says, go and tell people about me. And the last one, verse 15, and to have authority to drive out demons. Okay, I don't know anyone here who's like had exorcism experiences, but I'm going to guess not. But in other parallel passages, Jesus says, I'm sending you out to drive out demons and to heal people. And we'll see how that applies to our context today. So three things. One, be in a relationship with Jesus to tell others about the good news of Jesus. And number three, really what that is pointing to is helping others around us break bondage from sin and demonic oppression. Okay, a lot of people around us are in bondage. Their lives are terrible and miserable. And Jesus is sending us out there to help these folks whom he loved to break the bondage of sin and demonic oppression. So those are the three things, and I want us to look at Acts chapter 4, because Acts chapter 4 actually shows these 12 disciples out living these three truths, okay? And I want us to see how their lives became from these regular fishermen, regular tax collectors, to people who are experiencing the power of God in extraordinary ways. So if you go to Acts chapter 4 with me, we're going to read 13 verses. And this tells the story. This is after Jesus had died on the cross for their sin, after he has resurrected from the cross to show he has victory over sin, and he has ascended. Okay, so Jesus is no longer with these 12 apostles. They're on their own. No one else is with them. And so they go out and they live out these three truths. Relationship with Christ, telling people about the good news, and helping people get free from the bondage of sin and demonic oppression. So Acts chapter 4, verse 1 through 13. The priests and the captain of the temple guards and the Sadducees came out to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. So remember Peter and John, they were on top of that list. So they went out and they started talking to people about Christ, okay? Verse 2, they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. Two guys, Peter, John, they went out. All they did was tell people about Jesus Christ. 5,000 people came to believe. That's extraordinary. If Peter and John was not in a relationship with Christ and they went out and told some random stories, I doubt one person would even believe and follow them. Verse 5, the next day the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, by what power or what name did you do this? So they're really asking two things, because Peter and John actually healed a lame guy, and also they brought 5,000 people to believe in Christ. And so these guys are asking these two men, what are you doing? Who are you doing this by, and what power, and by what name? And so this was their answer. It says, verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus, the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. See, they basically just regurgitated what Jesus told them to say, right? It's through the power of Jesus Christ that all these extraordinary things are happening. And it's Him. Not us, it's Him. Then in verse 13, I want us to see the reaction. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took notes that these men had been with Jesus. See, Jesus gave them those three commands. It came through. One, be in a relationship with me. Two, go out and tell people about me. And then third, help people start breaking down bondages. And this is one of many, many, many stories in the Bible of how these 12 men just went around. All they did was tell people about Christ, and extraordinary things started happening. God calls us to the same things. You know, we don't have any other different things that Jesus wants us to do. It's the same calling. One, know Him. Be in a relationship with Him. Number two, go tell other people about Christ, what He's done in your life. Each one of us have a story, and I can bet you each story that we have is extraordinary. And then third, He says, I'm sending you out because all the people around you are in bondage from sin and being oppressed by Satan. And I need you to go out there in my name, help deliver these people, help break their bondages so that they may have freedom in Christ. If your life is centered around these three things, I can guarantee you, you're going to experience God in extraordinary ways. You're going to see how he's going to use you in ways that will blow your mind. And I wish I had time this morning to just share all the stories that's been going on in my life, but I don't. And so I want us to see, you know, we are not ordinary. We are extraordinary because of our relationship with Christ. And so you want your life to matter. You want purpose in your life. You want your life to have meaning and a legacy. You want to make a difference in yourself, in your family, your community, in the world. Christ says this is the only way. It's by being in a relationship with him, telling others about him. Simple as that. It's not rocket science, okay? Our extraordinariness comes from Christ. So here's what I want us to do, is to practice this in our lives, okay? So each of you should have this. It was in your bulletin handout. If you don't have it, just raise your hand, and Yao Ming at the back is going to pass you one. And this is how we're going to practice this. This is how we're going to practice today's message. So remember those three things, right? What this is challenging us to do is we have three guys, Joe, Yan, and Pastor Ro, who are trying to lead us as a church to love upon our college students this summer. Okay, so our college students are in school all semester long. They're burnt out. A lot of them serve in their campus ministries. And so when they come back, the desire this year is to give them a break and just to love upon them. And so you have this right here that we would love for you to fill out. So what Young has done is he has gone out to all the college students and asked them and say, these are three things that we could do for you. One is help have some fellowship events where you can just relax and know people. You can go to a Bible study that we're going to teach and you can just soak yourself in God's word. Or number three is we can pair you up with someone who will do life with you over the summer. So Yan has gone out and he's asking this of every college student. And what we want to do on our side as a church community is to answer that call and say, yeah, I want to host a Bible study. And so Yan's going to connect the person who say, yes, I want to host a Bible study to the student who said, I want to go to a Bible study. So what we want you to do is, you see that little cutout line there? Fill out the furthest right column with what you want to do and how you want to love our college students. Write your name and email on there. You can check one, you can check three, and just say, you know, this summer I'm going to practice this. Because if you look at this, it matches back up to today's message. Help in a fellowship event, that's number one. Helping these students know Christ Jesus, right? Be in a relationship with him. Number two, host a Bible study. Jesus said, go teach and preach about him. And so that's what we do in Bible studies. Number three, one-on-one life mentorship. A lot of these college students have a lot of burdens and bondages they're dealing with. And so if you can be a life mentor to them, you can help them break those bondages that they can get out of. And so those are the three things that were challenging each person here today. You don't have to be a Christian to do this, right? You can help with a fellowship event. You can host your house for a Bible study, or you can just say, hey, I'm going to go out with you and hang out, eat a meal together, and ask me any questions you have about life. And so every person here, even the youth, are challenged to do this. So what I'd like you to do after service is check the one that you want to help out with, write your name and email, and on your way out, hand it to Yun. Yun will be at the exit door, so just tear off that little flap and give it to him. So let me end us with a prayer, and we actually have a treat. We have Bianca and Chris over there who just got baptized 2 weeks ago. They're going to come up here and share their testimony of how God has transformed them. And they have really great testimony, so I can't wait to get them up. But before that, let me just close this out in a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that it is through our relationship with you, God, that you help us experience the fullness of Christ. Lord, I have to admit every day I look at my life and I'm thinking, man, this is so normal. But God, you call us to a relationship with you. You call us to tell others about you. You call us to be your vessel to help those around us break free from their bondages. Wow, what a life that is, Lord. and to see what happened to these 12 apostles and unschool ordinary men, God, how you transformed their life upside down because they came to be in a relationship with you, Lord, we desire that. And so, God, we pray for your Holy Spirit to fill us up every day, to help us experience you in powerful ways, Lord, that we may be that light that you have designed us to be, that folks see that light and say, wow, Christ Jesus is amazing. I want to know more about him. And so, God, use us in that way. And I pray for the college student effort, Lord, that Young and Pastor Roe and Joe are trying to do this summer. Lord, I pray that we as a community can come together and really support them and the college students with this effort. And lastly, Lord, I thank you for Chloe and Jenny and Bianca and Chris, who recently got baptized. We pray that you bless them as they start this new journey. Help us as a community to love upon them and teach them to walk the ways of what it means to be a disciple and follower of Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.